Thanks for listening to the Voice Ministries podcast. To get more information about Voice, or if you were blessed by this message and want to sow into our ministry, go to our website at voiceministries.com.
If you have your Bibles, turn to James chapter 4. I'm going to have this up on the screen. And the challenge that I have for myself, looking in the mirror and talking each and every day to the Lord, and the challenge that I have for you is basically, how much do you really want to know God? How much more do you want to know Him? And what are you going to do to press in to know Him more? And I think that's a question each and every day that people have and that they can be challenged with, because we should know Him more. Know Him in such a way that we can respond to any circumstance based in our life because of that relationship and how we know Him. So it doesn't matter what comes our way, what kind of storms or anything, because we can deal with it because of our relationship with Jesus. And so tonight, that's what I want to challenge you with, of how close do you want to be to God? And I think that everybody in this room, it's up to you of how close you want to be with God. It's really not up to the worship team. It's not up to me. It's up to you. Because each and every day you can draw near to the Lord. Every day you can. And you can seek Him even more. And so that's where I'm going to start. But I want to start with James chapter 4, because it's really powerful. And this is one of my chapters that I love. I'll start with verse 1. It says, "What is the source of quarrels and conflicts among you? Is not the source of your pleasures that wage war in your members? You lust and you do not have, so you commit murder. You are envious and cannot obtain, so you fight and you quarrel. You do not have because you do not ask. You ask and you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives, so that you may spend it on your own pleasures and not the things of the Lord. And it says, you adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is hostility toward God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Or do you think that the Scripture speaks to no purpose? He jealously desires the Spirit which He has made to dwell inside of you, inside of every one of us. But He gives a greater grace. Therefore, it says, God is opposed to the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Then it says, submit therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. That's a real strong spiritual warfare principle. It says, submit therefore to God, resist the enemy in your life, and he will flee in the name of Jesus. And then verse 8 is the verse that I really want to pull out, and it says, draw near to God, and He will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. When it speaks about double-mindedness and it speaks about drawing near to God, that is completely, absolutely up to us to do that. And I want to challenge you, because if we don't draw near to Him, our lives are miserable without Him. And so, how dependent are you this day, this night upon God? And this is for everybody in the room. I don't care if you're a pastor, how long you've been in the faith. How dependent are you upon God? Do you live and do I live to please God each and every day? You got to ask yourself that question. Because I believe that we're in a time in history that God is raising up believers all over the earth that have a passionate love for Him. And it's a generation that's being prepared for His return. And it's a deep, deep love. And I believe that people desire to walk in the ways that the believers walked in the Scripture. And to not come in tune with the world, but come in tune with God's heart. And that's a challenge for us as believers, each and every day. It's not about this life. Yes, we can minister about Him. We receive rewards because of things we do, but it's really about what's coming, because this life is fleeting. It's over before you know it. And so, are we living for eternity? Do we have an eternal mindset that we're saying, yes, we're living for Him? And you know what? Of course, everybody that sees Jesus face to face is going to desire that they walked in everything they possibly could for Christ. So today, on this day, He's challenging you and He's challenging me Am I really living for God? And how close do I really want to be each and every day with God? And that's the question that lies before each and every one of us. There's great lovers of God. I read about it in the scripture. They experience Jesus. I've said this phrase to my sons quite a bit. Live Jesus. Just don't live for yourself. Live Jesus. Those two words. Live Jesus each and every day. It's not about this life, as I said. It's about living for him. And it's about what comes after. In John chapter 21, many of you are familiar with this. Jesus has already risen from the dead, and he asks Peter on the shore, he says, Peter, do you love me? And Peter says, you know what, Lord, you know everything. You know my thoughts. You know everything. You know that I love you. And it's surprising to me that three times he asked him that question, and of course, Peter was the one who denied him three times. That he looked upon the Lord and he wept bitterly because he knew that Jesus told him. He said, this is going to happen. And Peter said, it will never happen. And it did. But Jesus, the lover of our soul, affirmed Peter on that beach three times. Three times he affirmed him in his love. Peter felt rejection, but he didn't feel it after that. Jesus told him, do you love me? What if Jesus was here today? I was thinking about this morning, very early in the morning. What if Jesus walked into this room right now? And I really want you to think about this. What if Jesus showed up wherever you're at? I mean, in the physical, the resurrected Christ. He showed up and he looked you in the eyes. Right? Gazed right into your eyes and asked you the question, do you love me? I want you to think about it. I want you to let that sink in. Do you love me? Bob, do you love me? John, do you love me? What would you desire? What would you be able to say? What would you desire to say? If he looked you right in the eyes and said, do you love me? I challenge all of us with that tonight, to think about that. How much do you love God? How much do you really, really, really love God? How much you love him is going to change everything in your life if you really, really, really love him. Now, I know that many of us are in the process of that. But I thought about my answer this morning. If he showed up, and he'd come up to me and look me in the eyes and said, Bob, do you love me? What would be my answer? What would be your answer? And I think it's worthy to think of those things and to meditate on those thoughts and to allow him to love us. I wrote this down. What is your emotion when I say, Jesus, is there any? When you hear his name, is there anything that happens? Or have you heard it so many times that nothing really happens anymore because you're just used to hearing the name Jesus? Or does something move your heart when you hear Jesus? Jesus, the King of Glory. The one who died for me, who laid it all down for me. And these are questions that we need to be confronted with, and we need to really allow to have their way with us. How do we feel when we hear his name? Have we gotten used to hearing the name Jesus? Another question, and these are questions I'm writing for myself because the question has been hitting me quite often. Would you sell everything that you have and go after him completely? Would you die for him? Do you love him so much that you would die for him today? Think about it. Do you love him that much that you would die for him? Would do you do anything for him that he would ask you to do? Do you know a lot about him, but you don't really know him? And I think it's a worthy question, no matter where you're at in your journey with the Lord, do you really have an ongoing relationship day to day with him? Now, this isn't to bring any kind of like condemnation at all, because there's no condemnation in him. But it's a challenge throughout the entire scripture. It's from the Old Testament to the New Testament. They're saying, return to him with all of your heart. Lay everything down. Can you do that today? I'm going to ask you a few more hard questions, because I think you really need to consider them. What would you do? What would you do if you're walking in your faith and then all of a sudden your entire family turned away from God, who believed in Jesus and lived for him all the days that you've known on this earth, and all of a sudden they said, no, I don't believe anymore. I'm not going to do it. And they renounced him. What kind of effect would that have on you? What if all the people you hung around that loved God, then all of a sudden they said, no, it's getting too crazy. You know, I'm not doing the Jesus thing anymore. Would you be able to stand in the midst of that? Would you be able to walk that out? In Matthew 10, 21, some of you know this scripture. It's a pretty powerful scripture. It says, brother will betray brother to death, and father his child, and children will rise up against parents and cause them to be put to death. You will be hated by all because of my name. But it is the one who has endured to the end that will be saved. So what if people begin to turn, your family begin to turn against you for the sake of the gospel of Jesus? This isn't Western Christianity. This is the kingdom of God. This is the word of God. There are men and women all over the earth that are laying their lives down for the Lord. And I feel an urgency within myself and within this ministry and within this region, within our nation, to really sound the alarm and say, wake up and know. Go deeper and deeper in the place of love with Christ. Know and have that relationship. Sometimes it's easy to love God when everybody else around you is loving God. But what about when you're alone? Or what if you're around a whole bunch of people, like I said, that don't love God? Do you pretend or do you act a different way? You know, I was talking to Josh Eaton, and we were just discussing things one time, and we were talking about how in 24 hours, things can go so bad just from a few choices. In 24 hours, those men and women that are walking with God, and a few choices, boom, takes them down a path, and it's like, how did I get here? That quickly. And that's why it's so important to have this intimate relationship with Jesus and to know him above everything else. And to cultivate that and do whatever you can to learn how to hear his voice through the word of God. You know, you can hear his voice through the Holy Spirit. You can hear his voice through the word of God. You can hear his voice through the peace that he brings upon you. And if you seek him, he'll allow that to happen within your life more and more and more and more. Psalm 139, if you would turn there, it's an amazing psalm. I won't go through the whole thing. But Psalm 139, I think I just chose a couple scriptures. Verse 23 and 24, some of you may know this, but it says, search me, O God, and know my heart. Let's stop right there. Are you ready to do that right now? Are you really ready to say, search me right now? Search me, God, and know my heart. Search me and know my heart right now. You know, you and I both know that he knows everything about us, but are you willing to say the prayer and say, Lord, search me and know my heart. Try me and know my anxious thoughts and see if there be any hurtful way in me, and lead me. This is the kicker. I love this. And lead me in the everlasting way. Search me, Lord, and know my heart, and lead me in that everlasting way with you. It's everlasting. It goes on and on and on. Search me. Know my thoughts. You know what's bothering me right now with Bob talking up here. You know what's my struggle is. Can you help me with that right now? Can you search me? I think that There can be a natural response to love. But Jesus says in John 14, Jesus said, here's a big one. Jesus said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. You will follow me. You will be obedient. If you love me, you'll be obedient. So the Holy Spirit is wanting to help you in that area tonight. He's wanting to help me in that area tonight. To go deeper in the place of relationship and knowing him. That you can say, I'm going to do whatever you ask of me. I'm willing to do that. The Holy Spirit brings us to that place. And do you know when the Holy Spirit, when it really shows up inside of us and we get born again and the fire of God really hits us, what it says that we become a slave to righteousness. And when we become a slave, a bondservant to righteousness, that when anything happens that is not righteous, immediately we can detect it and we know it. And God wants us to walk away from it and live in righteousness. We need to be slaves to righteousness. That's what the scripture says. And you have to ask yourself, I have to ask, am I a slave to righteousness to do what's right? Can I be kind in situations? Is my love long-suffering? Can it suffer long when people are treating me badly? What is my response? God wants to season everything that comes out of my mouth, and he's making me aware of it more and more and more. So that it's love that I speak, and it's not that I react to situations or use some crude humor to respond. God wants me to respond in love. That doesn't mean you cannot have fun. That doesn't mean that you can't walk in the joy of the Lord. It just means that are you a slave to righteousness? You know that first scripture when I was talking about in James chapter 4, it's talking about the things of being double-minded. It's talking about mixing and mingling the world with your life in Christ. And God's saying, no more mixing and mingling. It doesn't work. When you mix and mingle the ways of your flesh and the ways of the world with your walk with God, it causes you to be miserable and frustrated. Can anybody give me an amen on that? All right. I just want to make sure. Because that is, it just makes you miserable, and you know exactly what I'm talking about. You've been called by him. He has purchased you with a beautiful, beautiful price that he paid for us so that we can walk in the freedom of who we're called to be. But if we desire to mix and mingle the ways of the world, the ways of the flesh, the ways that we were taught even growing up in religious church, if we mix and mingle that stuff with intimacy with Christ, we are going to be a miserable group of people, always striving to be accepted or receive something when all along he's loved us and we've got everything we need when we look to him. We got everything we need in Jesus. Everything we need is in Jesus. The love of Christ. The power of Christ. He purchased everything for us. We have it all right here, right now, in this moment. It's available to everyone in this room. The yes in our heart, the singing of the yes in our spirit, the waking up each and every day saying, I'm yours. I'm going to live for you today. I'm not going to have a devotion and walk away from you. I'm going to do all things as I do it unto the Lord that the book of Colossians speaks about. Everything that I do, I'm going to do it unto him. Whether I work, whether I play, whether I'm talking, whatever I'm doing, I'm going to do it unto him. That doesn't mean that we don't stumble. It just means this, that when we do stumble, we desire more than anything to get back in that place of walking in the fullness of grace and mercy. We don't trample underfoot, that Hebrews said. Woe to you who trample underfoot the grace that saved you. Woe to you that use the grace taught in so many things, circled day in and day out. Men and women caught in so many things that are hidden. No one knows about. God's wanting to fulfill things in your life. He's wanting to free you. He wants you to know him in a powerful way. So how much do you know him? How much do you live for him? How much are you willing to just say, okay, I've had it. I'm done. I'll go back to the beginning. I believe that there are men and women all over the earth right now that are going to live in the way that the scriptures speak, that are live in the way of the Old Testament, New Testament, loving God in a powerful way. Courage like Joshua to go forward. Men and women standing for Jesus, proclaiming him. dying to themselves and not allowing their flesh to have their way, living and becoming crucified with Christ, and saying, it's not about me anymore. It's not about my needs anymore. It's not about all myself being pleasured by so many things. It is about my relationship and the love that I have for Christ and the love that he has for me. When you go into the five foolish virgins and the five wise, when we talk about spiritual warfare, what were the virgins carrying in their lamps? They were carrying oil. What was the oil? It was the oil of intimacy. What does the oil do in the midst of a lamp? It creates what? Light. And wherever light goes, what does darkness have to do? It has to leave, right? So the oil of intimacy and the light that's coming forth from that lamp, that's wisdom. And so you say, well, how can I walk this out? How can I overcome darkness? I overcome darkness by the power and the shed blood of the Lamb and the intimate relationship I have with him. So I've bought oil. And when the other five virgins said, hey, give me some of your oil because Jesus is coming back, they said, we can't give you any of this oil. All of you know the story. And God's saying, wake up, O sleeper. It's time. Make sure you got the oil. Because darkness is going to increase on the earth, but you better believe light is also going to increase on the earth at the end of the age. There's a great harvest coming. Are you ready? Are you ready to love people? Are you ready to love them in their condition? And you will not be able to love them if you don't have the love of Jesus functioning in your life, living through you and living out from you. You just won't be able to do it. If you don't get a root system now, it's not going to be a quick fix. The lie that, oh, I'm going to get ready, I'm going to go deep in the Lord, I'm going to wait, it's a lie. Because when you procrastinate and keep putting it off, you keep putting it off and you keep putting it off. Today is the day of salvation. Today is the day to work out and walk out your salvation. Today is the day to say, I'm all his and he's all mine and I'm going for it. And I guarantee you, when you go for it, it will not make sense sometimes to you, and it won't make sense to other people. Because what's going to happen in you is that you're not going to depend upon the system. You're going to depend upon the kingdom. And you're going to seek first the kingdom and his righteousness, and you're going to believe by faith that all things will be added on to me as I walk this out. But it's added on by those who choose him and live in the place of intimacy. He says, you have not because you don't ask. But if you ask and you have faith, this is also a day that God wants to increase your faith to believe. And your faith increases when you fall deeper in love with Jesus. It does. When you allow his love to have its way in your life, when you become lovesick for him, it's just like you can do anything, anywhere, anyplace, anytime. You can go anywhere in the globe and know that if you're with him, everything's okay. God told me the other day a phrase by the Holy Spirit. He says, you're safe here. And I heard it so clear, and I was questioning some things. He said, you're safe here. When you stand for things and take on things, you're safe in me. I've got you. I've got you. God has you. He has you. He will not let you go. When you run, he will run after you. And he will not let you go. What kind of love is this? Where do you find this? It's not about a slick message. It's not about a bunch of points. It's not about how much scripture you memorize. That's a good thing, but it's not about that. Because sometimes you can pull that scripture from memorization and try to apply it to something that has nothing to do with anything. And you try to pull it and you try to apply it, but if you've got love and you've got the love of Jesus and you know him intimate, you can stand anywhere and walk through anything because you have Jesus and he's got you. Does he have you tonight? That's the question, does he? If he walked up to you right now and looked into your eyes and said, do you love me? Do you love me? Josh, do you love me? And he looked right in your eyes. What would you be able to say? You already know he knows everything about you. You see, Peter had to go through all kinds of things. You know why? Because when Peter was walking in the power of God after the resurrection, and the Holy Spirit came, and he laid hands on someone, and the individual was healed, and they began to praise Peter. Peter said, whoa, 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 wait a minute. It's not me. It's the one you guys crucified. Now, how did Peter say that? Because he got broken. Because he realized it's not about Peter. It's all about Jesus. And it will always be about Jesus. Maybe this is the same old message, same old words you've heard. Maybe you've heard this 1,000 times. But maybe tonight, this is the moment that you're going to respond. You're going to say, yes, I love you. Search me. Have your way with me. When I look into a room, and I look across this room, and I see everybody here, and I know that there's so many backgrounds here, I don't look across this room and say, oh, look at the congregation. I look across this room, and I say, look at the sons and the daughters of God. Look at the men and women with destiny and purpose and calling right here in this room that could turn everything completely around. Every one of you in this room, by faith and by a relationship with Christ, everything can shift and everything can change. And so, you know, the Holy Spirit brings us to a place where you make decisions. And he might have been knocking on the door on this. Every one of you in this room know that sin separates you from God. So you still allow sin in to separate you from God. Well, that's why there's grace. Yeah, there's grace for sin. But woe to those who trample underfoot the grace that saved them. Woe. That's a biggie. Woe. And you use grace to live your own lifestyle. Some of you are between love and sin. And it's a miserable place to be. It's a miserable place to be, holding on to stuff. And I would say this for you and for myself, that there's nothing better than being right with God. Nothing better than being right with God. It feels awesome. Intimacy, the relationship, it's so good. And when I mix and mingle things, I'm miserable. When we take the scripture for what it is and we begin to look at it across the board, we realize that, you know, so many times we major on these big sins, these big things. But gossip is very terrible. Assassinating somebody's character behind their back. The scripture is very clear. Don't do that. It's very clear. You are as close to God as you want to be right now, everyone in this room. Including me, looking in the mirror. I'm as close to God as I want to be. How close do I want to be? And here's how you get closer. You confess before God. You confess your sin. You confess before Him. I don't know who's really real in this room or who's pretending in this room. I might be pretending. I might just be taking you all for a ride right here. I can tell you I'm not, but I could be. You know how many preachers have taken people for a ride and hurt and destroyed the body of Christ? See, because there's that thing that your gifting is irrevocable, and many people will use their gifting still living in the abundance of sin. Crazy stuff. But God wants to work on the person's heart who's hungry. And so He'll even use those individuals to reach people. It blows my mind. But there's a scripture that always concerns me. It's that scripture when He says, hey, depart from me. I don't know you. Well, wait a minute. I did all these things in your name. Yeah, I know. But depart. I don't know you. I don't know who you are. You did it for your own gain. Are you alive or are you dead? I keep going back to, what would Jesus say right now if he asked you, do you love me? What would you say? I know what he'd say. What would you say? Are you for real or are you fooling everybody? You pretending? And this is for all of us. What's your relationship before God? What would God say about you today? So, I want, Michael, come on up. I just want to give an opportunity for all of us just to let the Lord search our hearts. I want to pray Psalm 139 over you. I want us to take a moment to think about it. And here's a key thing. We take initiative to go somewhere where we are. We're right now in this place. We can take initiative right now to move in the ways of God, right where we are. Not where we're not, but where we are. And we're in a place that we can take that initiative to say yes to the Lord tonight, to ask him to search me. And I love the last scripture, lead me into everlasting life. How close are you to the Lord? It's a challenging message. It's an encouraging message. And I think more and more we need to challenge each other and say, how close are we? Are you judging me, Bob? No, not at all. I'm speaking to myself as much as I'm speaking to anyone in this room. Can you and I say, I'll sell everything that I have and follow you, Jesus, wherever? It's pretty tough. Go ahead and stand if you don't mind. Michael. Like I said, I see sons and daughters of the living God in this place. I see people of destiny and purpose. I want you just to be really sincere right now. Let's just enter into a time of prayer. Let's just pray for a while. If you need to close your eyes, open your hands, whatever you need to do. Given you permission to search us. We know you know us. When we're sitting down, when we're rising up in the morning, you know us. You know everything about us. You're completely acquainted with our ways. And even in the midst of our failures, you still love us and pursue us. Flee from your presence. You are everywhere. And so right now we just take a moment and ask you, through the power of the Holy Spirit living within us, search us and know our hearts. If there's any hurtful way in me, let me confess it right now to you. Let me give it to you. Yes, Jesus. Holy Spirit, we need you right now. Come. Stir in the inside. Move on the outside. Yes, God. Yes, Jesus. Holy Spirit. Search us. Spirit of repentance fall on us. We return to you. We desire your heart, your ways in our life. Jesus. Yes, God. Jesus. Stirs our emotions because how much you love us and how much we love you, God. don't want your name just to be a common name. We want it to stir things in our heart. Want to know him through someone else. We want to know him personally. Yes, God. Yes. Search me, oh God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxious thoughts. And see if there be any hurtful way in me. And lead me into the everlasting way. Yes, God. Lead us into the everlasting way. Lead us. We say yes to you, Lord. We say yes to you. You're the good surgeon. Do your surgery on us right now in our hearts, God. Let us depart from things that are not of you. Yes, God. How precious you are, God. Lord, I ask even now that you would share your thoughts with the sons and daughters in this room. Share your thoughts about them. Let them hear your voice. The sheep know his voice. Let them be quiet enough to just listen. Hear your voice. Hear the love song. Yes, God. How precious. Families that are in great need. Let your hope arise in us. Bring healing to families, God. Bring healing. Bring peace. Because we can rest in your works and your ways and your word. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Some up that in the ministry that come up and just pray those and around those that are here. But we're just going to stay in the spirit of prayer for a little bit and just in a couple minutes dismiss you and whatever you need to do just to pray. But those that need prayer, I want you to come up and pray for them. Just stand by them and pray and intercede. Yes, let this be a shifting time, God.
Surrender all.
Let this be a shifting time, God. Yes, Lord.
All to thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all.
Question would be on our hearts and on our minds of how close do we really want to be to you. So each and every day, God, I ask that you would help us and stir us in our yes, that you would raise us up to be those men and women that proclaim the goodness of who you are, that stand firm, that are steadfast and immovable in the ways of God's word and his ways, that we're genuine and we're humble. We know that it's the humble road that is drawing your people right now so that they can steward a great harvest and a great move. We We love you, Jesus. Thank you for your mercy and your grace and your goodness. Bless each and every one that's here and on their way home tonight. Just bless them. And I even ask, God, that you would stir them in the night watches, in the night seasons. And just speak to them through dreams and visions. We love you and we give you the praise. And it is all about you, Jesus. In your holy name. Amen and amen. God bless you. Go in peace. Thank you for coming to the meeting place. We're going to keep praying up here. And if you need prayer, feel free to come on up.